You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There are new concerns about a COVID-19 surge in Philadelphia from the White House response team. Vice President Mike Pence addressed that.
I spoke today to Governor Tom Wolf, and as we begin to see early trend lines in Philadelphia, I assured him that we were going to continue to flow resources and support to that community.
Washington, D.C. and Baltimore were also singled out as potential hotspots. President Trump said he's optimistic that the nation will reopen for business, but he said there's a lot to consider.
I think we will be sooner rather than later, but we'll be sitting down with the professionals. We'll be sitting down with many different people making a determination, and those meetings will start taking place fairly soon.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 779 points, the NASDAQ up 203, and the S&P up 90. This is USA Radio News. After carefully calculating the odds, Bernie Sanders says,
we are now some 300 delegates behind Vice President Biden, and the path toward victory is virtually impossible.
He says he's withdrawing from the Democratic presidential race, saying he doesn't want his campaign to interfere as the nation fights the coronavirus pandemic.
I cannot, in good conscience, continue to mount a campaign that cannot win and which would interfere with the important work required of all of us in this difficult hour.
With Sanders out of the race, that makes Joe Biden the presumptive Democratic nominee. According to sources, the two men have been working closely for weeks to try to figure out which of the Vermont senator's policies Joe Biden could work with and adopt to unite the party.
Together, standing united, we will go forward to defeat Donald Trump, the most dangerous president in modern American history.
You're listening to USA Radio News. Does it seem like your computer is starting to drag a little? USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has some advice.
With everyone being quarantined at home, is your computer slow even though you pay for high-speed internet? If so, there could be a number of reasons. An easy way to check out how fast your internet is to go to a site that will tell you what your upload and download speeds are. Ken Colburn with Data Doctors suggests using a site called testmy.net. He tells ABC 15 News in Phoenix.
It's a much more realistic way to test your internet connection.
Colburn also says you have to run multiple tests.
Well, you need to do it at three different times a day, at least 3 days in a row. So you get at least 9 different tests, and then you average those out.
The Treasury chief has a message for small businesses struggling through the pandemic. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin saying the federal government will not run out of money for small business loans across the U.S. He says he's confident Congress will approve more funding on top of the original $350 billion already being distributed.
We want to assure everybody, if you don't get a loan this week, you'll get a loan next week or the following week. The money will be there.
Mnuchin was speaking there by phone on CNBC. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't forget, you can listen to the news anytime by logging on to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
I take a breath, I'm not gonna lose. This is what I came here to do.
Keep on doing what you do, Rick. You're my favorite host. Favorite host.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's time to hear the truth about America's biggest challenges. You're listening to America Off the Rails with your host, Rick Robinson.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the program. I am Rick Robinson. This is America Off the Rails, and you are listening to us live right here on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network. Hope everybody's having a great Wednesday night, or as we call it around here, Chat Lives Matter Day. I don't know about all you guys in the chat room and all you... I haven't seen any ladies in the chat room. I know there were some in there earlier. I don't know if there still are. But if there are, avert your eyes, because hashtag Team No Pants, just saying. All right, so welcome to the program. For those of you paying attention, this is now my fourth hour of radio today. I can't promise it's going to be great, but we're going to do it anyway. And we are live. We do this thing typically every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. We are the cleanup crew for the Chat Lives Matter Day, and also now the cleanup crew for the Tuesday night lineup that is now also completely full. That's fun. This has been fun lately because I mean everybody's stuck at home. I have like an entire team of folks that are like, find me some more open time. I need to vent. Like, and we're gonna find a way to make it work for as long as we can. But also, and we're gonna skip some of the breaks tonight. We normally do several breaks throughout the show because we have a couple of different segments because I'm playing catch up. We're going to change the format up just a little bit. So here in a second, we're going to do the very first ever return of the Buffoon of the Week. This is hosted by a good friend of mine, Gene Berardelli, who is actually used to do a show here that was carried on KLRM Radio. We used to work together on WNJC out of Philly. We were in on both Red State Talk Radio, and then we also worked together over at Red Nation Rising Radio, and then he went over to Mojo. I didn't join the Mojo crew because at that point I'd already kind of parted ways with the Red State and the Red Nation Rising crew. But Gene had some health issues and put everything on the back burner for a couple of years. And now instead of doing a full show, he's now taken one of the most popular parts of his show, which is the Buffoon of the Week, and turned it into a YouTube thing. So last week, I heard the debut episode, or watched the debut episode, I should say. I was like, hey, I think if you're okay with this, because you've always had a part on KLRM Radio, and as far as I'm concerned, your family, since you're doing this again, I think we can make this translate to radio if you want to. I said, I don't want to add a bunch of extra work to it, but if you don't think it'll work as is, then we don't have to do it. So this first one was not optimized for radio, so to speak. So it's not going to play well on the radio. We're still going to do it anyway because it's the first one. The second one, which is the one we'll play in the second half of the show for week two, he actually took some time to rework the script a bit to make it work a little bit better for radio. So what I would like for you guys to do, if you're listening tonight, once you listen to these things, now you can't vote on last week's because the poll's already closed, but the one for this week is still open. So what I want you to do, as soon as the show is over, I want you to go to the Buffoon of the Week YouTube channel, and I want you to subscribe to it, put in the comments you found out about them from KLRM Radio, and then I want you to, if you want to, listen to it again to give them another click, and then make sure that you vote. Because the fact that Gene, after everything he's been through for the last couple of years, is actually dipping a toe back in the water of the political game is amazing. He's probably one of the brightest minds on Twitter and pretty much every social media platform that I know. Hell, he's a licensed attorney. He's a pretty smart dude. So you really should probably check it out. But instead of taking the break, which we usually do about now, I actually have the first one ready to go. And again, I apologize. This one isn't actually basically optimized for radio yet. And they are a little bit longer than what we normally like to run here, but we're doing it anyway. So here we go.
Have you ever been watching politics and thought to yourself, man, these people are a bunch of idiots? Well, you have found the right show for you. Welcome to Buffoon of the Week, where we take a look back at last week's news and current events to nominate people who did or said something really, really dumb. And like any other political exercise, we explain why they should earn your vote. After we make our case, you then choose between them and decide who earned the dubious distinction of Buffoon of the Week. Our first... Yeah, guys, that's not him. There we go. Our first nominee is Democratic presidential candidate and presumptive nominee, Joe Biden, who undoubtedly had one of the worst weeks ever in his political career. How bad, you ask? Well, let's start with his attempt at live streaming his plan to battle the coronavirus outbreak. It didn't really go to plan.
Now we need the armed forces and the National Guard to help with hospital capacity, supplies, and logistics. We need to activate the reserve corps of doctors and nurses and beef up the number of responders dealing with these crush of cases. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
Yeah, not exactly presidential material, was it? Then there were his appearances on friendly, liberal cable news outlets, where Biden showed just how ill-prepared he personally is to deal with the coronavirus.
I have not talked to any individual. Excuse me.
You know, you're supposed to cough into your elbow. I don't know, sir. I learned that actually covering your White House.
That's true, but fortunately I'm alone in my home, but that's okay.
All right.
I agree. You're right.
You should just, it's kind of old school to do it with your hand. Do it into your elbow. You're supposed to do it. Let me
have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
A candidate in the time of social distancing.
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. And I think we've been
public. But first off, in this crisis,
I'd like
spoke earlier. He's talking.
But and I tell you what, I'm so darn proud. And those poor people who have lost, you know. Anyway, it's just my heart goes out to
them. No. Listen, we have to make a choice about who leads this country.
I just can't figure the guy. It's like watching a yo-yo. I shouldn't have said it that way. It's like watching.
It feels that way. I want to ask. I want. That's okay. About the reporting in the New York Lloyd to Home Alone with children.
Why doesn't he just act like a president? That's a stupid way to say it.
You know,
I guess,
Donald Trump
really
was asked.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No.
Jeez, someone get that man a lozenge or something. But then again, that's old school leadership at its finest. Classic, do as I say, not as I do politics. And to add a cherry on top of this crappy Sunday for Biden, news broke this week that Uncle Joe has been accused by a former staffer of unwanted sexual advances and sexual assault. Yep, worst week ever. If you like what you're seeing so far, hit that thumbs up button. Also, leave us a comment. We'll read every single one of them. And don't forget to subscribe to never miss another video. Our second nominee is perennial D-list celebrity Michael Rapaport, the former star of something, took to Twitter to bash President Trump's handling of the coronavirus outbreak. Rapaport took exception to, Boston Public. That's what he was on. He was on Boston Public like 20 years ago. Anyways, Rapaport took exception to the president's aspirational timetable to get life and business back to normal. And when I say took exception, we mean with extreme prejudice. He even cursed out Trump's children, including his young son, Barron. Count along with us as we watch the profanity fly.
F***ing pig, the real people want to get back to work ASAP. You never worked a f***ing day in your life. You're worried about the next 4 years. You need to be worried about the next 4 days. You need to be worried about the next 4 weeks, the next 4 months. You are the worst possible we could have in power making decisions right now. The real people want to get back to work. Why don't you send your fucking son, Stain Donald Trump Jr., Big Tooth Eric Trump, Little Baron, Ivanka, Junkyard Jared, let them go out there and test the fucking waters. Let them see if shit is sweet. Let them take the cars, the trains, the buses, the Amtraks. Let them play in the park, and everything's good. If everything's good after 5 days of them playing out there in the streets, we'll all go back there. You want to make the American people guinea pigs so you could get reelected? You f***ing clown. And people, if you fall for this shit, shame on you. If you still fall for this shit, shame on you. This guy doesn't give a f*** about anybody but himself. He's talking about the next 4 years. We're trying to figure out what to do with the next 4 hours. You con man. You two-bit good-for-nothing pimp.
Yikes, break out the soap. Of course, Rappaport's comments had immediate impact upon his dozens and dozens of fans. Others outside of his sphere of influence responded with, "Who said that?" Proving once again that just because you think you're a celebrity and that your opinion should matter more than others, doesn't mean everyone else thinks so too. Okay, before we go any further, we have to give a big shout out to our friends at Less Government, More Fun for supporting our ideas for this show. In case you don't know, Less Government, More Fun is all about motivating people to take positive action through encouragement and volunteering and less government reliance. Check them out on Twitter at Less Gov More Fun, and pick up a t-shirt or maybe some swag by clicking the link in the description below to check out their store. because this is our blockbuster debut week, we're doing three nominees, because we couldn't not include Republican Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie. A devout libertarian, Massie riled his colleagues in government on both sides of the aisle when he objected to Congress using its emergency action powers to quickly pass the stimulus package in response to the coronavirus outbreak with a voice vote. That meant he single-handedly was responsible for compelling congressmen and women who were social distancing in their homes to leave their relative safety and travel back to D.C., gather in a confined space, and risk coronavirus exposure, all to cast a vote on a bill virtually everyone agreed on. That didn't sit well with the president either, who called Massie a third-rate grandstander and demanded on Twitter that the Republican Party expel Massie from its ranks. But I guess Massie did accomplish one thing. He brought the nation together in their collected disdain for what he did. Choosing between buffoons isn't all fun and games around here. So to help you decide your choice for Buffoon of the Week, we worked with top buffoonologists to help create our trademark Sharpton Scale of Buffoonery. It measures two things. First, we measure exactly how big of a buffoon each person is. Everyone has a spot on that scale based upon how big of an idiot they are given their past history of actions and statements in comparison to the only known perfect 100 in existence, the Reverend Al Sharpton, of course. Then, each action is measured in buffoonish magnitude using our custom unit of measure, the Sharpton, on a scale with no upper limit. So you ready to get wonky with us? Let's see how these buffoons measure up against each other. Joe Biden has been known to be a bit of a buffoon throughout his career, but he was more regarded as one of those lovable, bless-your-heart, crazy-uncle types. Remember those memes back in the day at the end of the Obama administration? That kind of guy, you know, good for a laugh, but relatively harmless in nature. But lately, he's become more of a, yikes, this is getting hard to watch kind of buffoon. Not exactly the kind of person you want around you, let alone someone who wants to be leader of the free world. So both his personal score and his recent actions in the face of a pandemic rate relatively high. Michael Rappaport seems like one of those Hollywood types on the fringes of fame. You know, he's not someone that comes to mind when you think of Hollywood or TV or film. Which is the same description you can use even when you think about him in the context of being a Trump hater. Others in Hollywood come to mind before you even get to him. So this video of his screams out for attention. But his inclusion of Barron Trump, a minor, in his verbal tirade takes this video out of the realm of garden variety ramp into total creepsville. Never go after kids in politics. It only makes you look like a bully and a big buffoon. Was it all worth it? That's the question we'd love to ask Thomas Massie. Was the drubbing you took in the press from all sides worth the hours in delay that your principal stand resulted in? Doesn't seem like there was a lot accomplished by it. Was it worth it to expose your colleagues to danger and making them come back to Washington? Was it worth it to give the perception that you don't care about multitudes of Americans suffering under this coronavirus pandemic? Now we know that Massie is known for taking principled stands on legislation big and small, but in this case, he may have gone too far. So we've done our job, now it's your turn. Which of these three buffoons takes it home? Cast your vote in our poll and leave us a comment to tell us who you got for Buffoon of the Week. Wow, you made it all the way to the end of the video. Yay you! While you're here, give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel so you can always come back for more fun. Hope to see you here next week.
And that, folks, was the debut episode of Gene Berardelli's Buffoon of the Week, one of his most popular segments of his original show, Behind Enemy Lines Radio, that actually ran for years, and actually he won several awards through CPAC, actually, and a few other places. So really excited to have him back in the fold, even if it is in a limited capacity, but really excited to see him putting his creative skills back to work. Second half of the show, probably towards the end, we've got one more because we've got to play catch up, because I want to make sure that starting next week we can actually run with them so you guys can actually have time to do the polls and everything else. So on the first one, the polls for that have already closed. You can actually go to the YouTube channel, which I'll be linking into the chat at the end of the show, so you can actually... we're dropping the videos individually, so if you want to go back and watch them later, you can. Also, at the end, we'll actually drop the full YouTube page. You guys can subscribe, keep up, all that fun stuff, if you would wish. And we do encourage those of you that listen here to do that. Gene is honestly one of the folks that kept me going and doing this kind of thing in my early years. I'm doing that for a few people now that are associated with KLRM Radio, and it's kind of one of those, I feel like I'm kind of paying it forward thing, because when I was first starting to do this, I had no clue what I was doing. Some of you are like, you still don't, but that's okay. But no, and there was more than once that I was like, man, I don't feel like anybody's listening to this. I don't know if anybody even likes this. And he was one of the first people that said, look, man, you're good at what you do. Just quit getting lost in your own head and just make sure you're doing it to have fun. And look, I don't do this that often on this show, but seriously, just for a minute, if you're listening to this show and you are toying with the idea of doing, you know, a streaming podcast or even a pre-recorded podcast, whatever the case may be, if you think you can, then you probably can, but you need to make sure that when you do it, you're doing it for the right reasons. Look, if you are doing this because you think someday, even if it's 30 years from now, you're going to be the next Rush Limbaugh, or you're going to be the next, you know, whatever your favorite podcaster is, the odds of that are astronomical. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm saying that it's most likely not going to happen. So if you're doing this to get rich, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Trust me, I know. I've been doing this for 11 years, and it's a part-time job that doesn't pay me very much. As in nearly nothing, because pretty much every dime I make goes right back into keeping it running. But I'm fine with that, because I have met some really great people like Gene along the way, and I've actually taken this thing that I started as a Facebook page, turned it into a couple of podcasts, eventually built it into a network. Now we're on iteration two of an internet radio station from it, and because of these things, I've actually gotten to know people and gotten to rub elbows with folks that do real radio. And I've actually sat in on some real radio shows, and I've done real radio. America Off the Rails, this show was on WNJC 1520 out of Philadelphia for 2 years. Those aren't things that I say because, ooh, look at me. I'm saying, you know, if you want to do this, you can. But just don't think it's all going to happen tomorrow, because it doesn't. Because most of us don't have $1 million to throw into marketing for no reason. If we did, we could all be the next Rush Limbaugh. Anyway, all right. So we're gonna take the bottom of the hour break again, because we are playing catch up with some videos. We're not doing things as we normally do them, so we're gonna basically take the middle of the show break, and that's gonna be pretty much it. Because where the other break would be, we're gonna have yet another video. When we come back, though, I do want to talk about some of the stuff that's going on, because we kind of have to. But this is America Off the Rails. I am your host, Rick Robinson. We will be back before you know it. Don't go away. Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is America Off the Rails. We do this show every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. We are the closing act for Chat Lives Matter Day, and I hope everybody's having a great Wednesday. That's right. For those of you who are essential, we're halfway through the work week. For those of you who aren't, kiss my ass. No, I'm kidding. Seriously. I'm super jealous, right? So I'm just going to be honest for a second. So, look, I'm a workaholic. If I'm working, then I basically pretty much work nonstop. But here's the thing. When I can stop, I enjoy stopping. Like my wife right now, because she was exposed last week. She's basically been sent home by her doctor. My wife is immunocompromised. She has rheumatoid arthritis. When her doctor found out she was still working, even after being 99% sure she was exposed to this crap, my wife's doctor basically said, look, either you go home or I'm done being your doctor. So my job, which I can't tell you what it is because I promise them that I won't, I am essential. However, they have found ways to help us, to let us work from home, because I can do most of what I do at the day job from home which is something we never thought was going to happen, but it is anyway. But that's beside the point, because my life is just irony of ironies all the time, right? So here's the thing. My wife is getting paid to sit at home and watch TV while I am essential and having to work in my studio 8 hours a day to do my day job. Now, I am the one who would be loving every minute of if I was forced to go home with pay and get to chill out and veg out on the couch and watch TV. My wife is going absolutely insane and is going stir crazy, and it's driving me just a little bit crazy because she's complaining while I'm back here working, and I'm like, I just want to trade places with you. I would much rather be sitting on the couch watching Netflix than doing what I have to do for 8 hours a day on top of the stuff that I do already back here. And don't get me wrong, I have so far, I've enjoyed working from home. I like it because we live out in the country, and to get to where my day job is, typically on a good traffic day, takes 1 hour and 10 minutes. On a bad traffic day, it can take 1 hour and 45 minutes each way. So I have so much more of my life back. That's part of the reason why we've been able to do this morning show. But I'm just sitting here and I'm like, realize how many other things I could be doing and not feel guilty about them if I was being paid from the day job. I mean, it wouldn't even necessarily be me just sitting on the couch chilling out and watching Netflix. Now, I'm not going to lie, that probably would happen at least 2 out of the 5 work days, just because, you know, I don't take much time off. And when I do, it usually winds up being me sleeping because I don't do that. But I could also, you know, I had all these bright ideas of, you know, since I'm working from home, I'm going to start trying to write for NOQ Report again and do more writing for the Loftus Party and do more writing for Misfit Politics. And I was like, I have 3 places that are screaming at me to write. Now maybe I'll finally have time. But so many, like telecommuting. The one thing I don't like about telecommuting is teleconferencing. All these times when I think, hey, I'm going to have a few minutes that I can kind of, you know, do things between projects that I have to do, then I get an invite that says, oh, we're supposed to be on a conference call in 10 minutes. And I'm like, anyway, sorry. Done venting about the job. But here's the other thing that I want to talk about before we get into the second buffoon video, because I can't believe we're already down to like 20 minutes left. MSNBC's done it again, right? So a lot of folks have talked about this tonight, but I want to kind of come at this from a different angle, because Chris Hayes has done it again. So Chris Hayes from MSNBC, like their version of you know, Florida makes the frogs gay, dude, Alex Jones, basically said that at this point he has a theory as to why these models keep changing. And his theory is that he believes that the Trump administration grossly inflated the original numbers so that when the death tolls came in so far below what they were inflating them to, that the Trump administration could claim victory. Keep in mind, Donald Trump has absolutely nothing to do with any of these numbers, but somehow it's all Donald Trump's fault. Like, there was a... Like, look. Okay, so I'm going stir crazy. One of my outlets is doing podcast shows. The other one is Twitter. So I wasn't very nice today, I'm going to freely admit it, when I found out that Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race. Because I was like, oh no, all the Bernie bros going to have sads now. And then somebody who I didn't even realize was a Bernie bro, because she's a chick, basically starts having a meltdown on my timeline. And then someone else joins her. And I just, look, don't come into my TL talking trash and then expect me not to talk trash back. It's pretty simple. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you're a dick, I'm going to smack you in the face with it. Just saying. Because I can. Because it's my TL. You don't like what I say there? Mute me. Block me. I don't give a fuck. But don't come onto my TL and start telling me what I should be saying. I don't go to anybody else's TL and say, you know, you really shouldn't say that. I may try to have a conversation about what you're posting, but I don't try to insult you over it. What the hell's the point in that? But these idiots are completely just unhinged over all of this, right? Like, so Bernie Sanders, who, by the way, has suspended his campaign, not actually dropped out, because his plan, at least what he's telling everybody, is he's going to try to use the delegates that he's earned as leverage to make sure that more of his campaign promises make it into the Biden platform. I also wouldn't be surprised if he tries to leverage it into a VP spot. I don't think it will happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what he tried to do, because he's Bernie. But the love that these people have for this man, that is part of what drives me absolutely insane over the Bernie supporters, because most of them can't put words together coherently, so it's not surprising that some of them are going to be voting for Biden. But the other of them, even the ones that can use somewhat proper English, do not understand basic economics. And then they're yelling at me when I'm trying to explain to them that all the things that he told you were going to be free are not going to be free. Like, there's one lady that all over was like, I just figured out what my insurance premiums are going to be, and co-pays and everything else is going to be 25% of my overall income. Bernie Sanders has declared that there would only be a 5% sales tax, blah, blah, blah. You're fucking lying. Stop it. Bernie Sanders has already said he freely admits that everybody's tax rate's going to go up, but they're going to save money on the back end because they're not going to be paying for their co-pays or this, that, and the other. Let me clue you in on something. When you add in all the crap he's going to make you for on the front end, you're going to wish you were paying for the shit on the back end. I'm just saying. Because we've seen how this works in other countries, and it doesn't work. But the fact that not only do we have these crazy pushes for socialized medicine, we now have basically an entire group of people that are like, well, maybe we should just keep the American people home indefinitely and just keep giving them stimulus money. What the fuck is wrong with you? People need to work. People want to work. I gripe about my job, but hell, I wouldn't know what to do if after a couple of weeks I didn't have anything to do. I mean, I understand why my wife is going crazy. My wife is 10 times more active than I am. Because even with her RA, they've managed to find medication that helps keep her pain levels low. And the more she moves, the less pain she's in. I, however, am the exact opposite. They can't give me anything that makes my pain go away. Or I start talking like, hey, yeah, my name's Rick Robinson and I'm a little stoned from the crap they give me for my pain. So I can't do anything else but this. So I can't take it on a regular basis. And she yells, she gets mad at me and she gets frustrated because she sees how much I'm in pain. And she's like, why don't you go to the doctor? And it's been years since they've tried to put you on anything. And I'm like, honey, I talk to them about this every time I go to the doctor. Which, granted, isn't as often as it should be. But I still go a lot more than I wish I had to. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's all the same answer. We can give you things to help with the pain. Well, that's great. If I'm going to do that, I might as well just buy a bottle. There's less side effects from the whiskey than there are from the crap you're wanting to shove down my throat. But at the same time, you know, all of that being said, I'm still looking at everything that's going on today, and there are alarm bells going off for me all over the place. Like, we have mayors and governors and police departments that are now like, turn in your neighbors, we'll pay you. If they're doing things they're not supposed to do during these social distancing time frames, then we will make sure that you are rewarded for you being a snitch. Let me clue you in on something. You know, despite what that mayor from California says, snitches get rewarded. No, motherfucker, snitches get stitches. Leave your neighbors alone. I don't care if they have 12 people in their house. It doesn't concern you unless you're in the house with them. Leave them alone. Look, folks, I get it. Everybody is terrified, and I blame the media for the fact that everybody is terrified because they have lied to us from day one about all this stuff, and I can't even just blame the media because, as we have pointed out pretty much on every single show,
China is asshole!
And they have been lying to us since November. This has been in this country, I guarantee you, since November. I know this because now that I talked to my doctor the other day, and she point blank told me that once the antibody test becomes readily available and they know that it works, she wants me to take it. Because I had went to the doctor a ton of times between November and December. Because I'm like, doc, I don't know what's going on. I can't go more than 5 or 6 steps without feeling like I'm going to die. And yes, I'm old and fat, but I'm not that old and fat. I can't talk for more than 10 or 15 minutes before I start feeling like I'm out of breath. And I talk for a living, which makes things really impossible. It's like, I can control some of it with things like cough drops and chest congestion medicine and everything else, but I'm having to take it constantly. And they kept running test after test after test after test and giving me Z-Packs and all these things, and nothing was working. I was sick for almost 2 months straight. And now all of this starts hitting the news, and my doctor's, you know, calling me the other day. She says, you know, after watching and reading through some of these symptoms and everything else, she said, especially since your average body temperature is actually above normal anyway, so you wouldn't even necessarily know if you had a low-grade fever, because you're typically about half a degree or so above everybody else as it is. When we have an antibody test available, I'm going to call you, and we're going to come in and we're going to give you this test, because I'm pretty sure we're going to find out that you had this crap all the way back in November. Which means, because I have allergies and have been diagnosed with, because my doctor, this last time I went to the doctor, because I was having so much trouble breathing, they basically diagnosed me with COPD, because they couldn't find anything else. They're like, with everything you're describing and the wheezing that I'm hearing and everything else that's going on, you probably have chronic bronchitis and COPD. So I've been officially diagnosed with those things, and now my doctor's looking at everything going, maybe we missed something. So if this is true, then because China lied, I exposed my entire office to coronavirus COVID-19 bullshit for months and had no idea. Which does not make me very happy either. Because despite how much I complain about my job, I really, really like most of the people that I work with. They are awesome, amazing people. And if I had any part in making them run the risk of being very, very sick, it makes me really, really sad. All right, so this is normally where we would take the last break. However, because we are doing a double shot of the Buffoon of the Week, we're skipping the break and going straight to the video. So here we go. I forgot. It actually is going to start off with the results from last week, so hang on just a second. So you can't see this part because it's video, but it says Joe Biden won for last week's poll, so here's the new one.
Welcome to Buffoon of the Week, where we scour last week's news and current events to nominate people who said or did something monumentally idiotic, and then you get to choose between them and decide who's Buffoon of the Week, because that's the name of the show. Get it? Yay! Before we get to this week's nominees, I want to give a big thanks to everyone who watched last week's video, who voted in our poll, and who subscribed to the channel. Last week, we got to like 20 likes on the video. It was amazing! This week, let's challenge ourselves. I think we can get to 40 likes. What do you think? Let's make it happen. Also, for those new to YouTube, we make voting really, really easy around here. See that eye in the top right corner of the video? Just click on it, and it'll take you right to our poll, and you can vote in it every week. Finally, we're happy to announce that we've launched all kinds of social media goodness for you guys. We set up a Facebook page. We got ourselves on the Twitters. We even set up an Instagram page. So follow and like us everywhere. And of course, you can always find us right here on YouTube. So please like and share wherever you can. Enough about me. Time to get to the nominations. And this week, our first nominee will be presented by one of my awesome friends. She's a brilliant CPA, a shrewd political observer, and in my opinion, way too close with her cat. Joining us by phone, here's Diana Gallo with our first nominee.
Nominee for this week's Buffoon title goes to New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Let's check out his recent soundbite.
All right. Chuck, it's not true that people everywhere are fighting with all they got because our military is being sidelined and the White House is in denial. It's just not true, Governor.
Well,
I respect you, but that's just not true.
Well, we've got military all over our state doing all kinds of great things, like
humanitarian
missions,
you do not
standing
have
up
the
food,
American
helping
military.
With hospitals,
okay,
and building new hospitals.
The Army National Guard, which is part of the reserve component for the United States Armed Forces, is apparently not the military. The Army National Guard, which was the militia of this country before we were even a country, way back in 1636, is apparently not the military. The Army National Guard, which is administered by the National Guard Bureau, a joint activity of the Army and the Air Force under the Department of Defense, the same bureau which is headed by a four-star general who is a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is apparently not the military. The men and women who serve in the National Guard, who go through the same basic training as their active duty and reservist counterparts, who get deployed overseas to be on the front lines of these conflicts and wars, who have the same ranks and insignias as the active U.S. Army, who are eligible to receive all U.S. military awards, that National Guard, those men and women, apparently they're not the military. I dare Mayor de Blasio to say to the faces of the hundreds of men and women in uniform currently helping out New York City during this coronavirus crisis to tell them, you are not the military.
Thanks, Diana, for calling in. If you like what you're seeing so far, click that thumbs up button. We want to get to 40 likes for this video. Comment below, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a show. Our second nominee is MSNBC weekend personality Ali Velshi. Velshi started a minor uproar on Twitter when he posted a derisive tweet about Mike Lindell, better known as the MyPillow guy, who announced at a press conference with President Trump in the White House Rose Garden that his company would start making N95 masks in response to the coronavirus pandemic. That tweet drew the ire of some of his colleagues in media, including Greta Van Susteren. Instead of taking a step back, Velshi doubled down in a reply to Van Susteren, inferring that the announcement in the Rose Garden was to further a partisan political purpose and had nothing to do with the coronavirus. By the way, to date, Velshi has made zero masks. But this proves, even when people act responsibly and altruistically, there will always be those who just can't seem to see past their own personal biases. Okay, before we go any further, we have to give a big shout out to our friends at Less Government, More Fun for supporting our ideas for this show. In case you don't know, Less Government, More Fun is all about motivating people to take positive action through encouragement and volunteering and less government reliance. Check them out on Twitter at LessGovMoreFun and pick up a t-shirt or maybe some swag by clicking the link in the description below to check out their store. So how in the world are you supposed to compare two such worthy buffoons? With our Sharpton Scale of Buffoonery, of course. Created by top buffoonologists, the Sharpton Scale of Buffoonery measures two things. First, you can measure how big of a buffoon each person inherently is, on a scale from 0 to 100, based upon how big of an idiot they have been in the past. We then compare that person to the only known perfect 100 ever measured on the scale, that being its namesake, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Then, on a separate scale with no upper limit, we evaluate the buffoonish magnitude of each act using our custom unit of measurement, the Sharpton. So break out your test tubes and put on those lab coats. It's time to get sciency. Bill de Blasio may be one of the worst quote-unquote successful politicians you've ever come across. Sure, he was elected the mayor of a one-party controlled city, but since then, he has proven to be inept, foolish, and ideologically driven, as evidenced by his dumb decision to embark on a presidential campaign that went absolutely nowhere. Here, de Blasio repeats past mistakes. Years back, he alienated the NYPD with some remarks that he made. Now he's doing potentially the same thing with the National Guard during a crisis. When you don't learn from past buffoonery, you end up rating a higher score on our scale, which is why old Warren Wilhelm here gets a score of 73, and his stupid comments rate 1.24 gigasharptons. I gotta be honest. I didn't know who Ali Velshi was before finding these tweets, so I guess the impact of his buffoonery in the grander scale is somewhat blunted to those who are insiders in politics. However, having a snarky response to Mike Lindell helping out in a global crisis is certainly not the right reaction. But on top of his initial comments, we have a classic double down on buffoonery by Velshi after Greta Van Susteren rightly called him out. Her point that Velshi should take several seats because he's not a creator like Lindell is also very well taken. Sometimes, the cover-up is worse than the original action, so while Ali Velshi gets a lower score of 65, his tweets rate a higher 1.71 Giga Sharpton. Okay, YouTube, you have two very worthy buffoons placed before you. Time to choose who you got for Buffoon of the Week. Vote now. Hey, thanks again for watching the whole video. Remember, we want to try to get this one to 40 likes this week. It's a tall task, but I think we can do it. So please like, share, and subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification bell to never miss another episode. Thanks again, see you next week.
Alright folks, so now we're all caught up with the newest YouTube sensation, the Buffoon of the Week, hosted by my good friend Gene Berardelli. If you would like, please feel free to visit the YouTube channel and vote in the poll. And I fail at life because I was going to grab the link and I didn't. So hang on a second. Let me do that. Hang on. Just in case we have some folks listening later that want to go find it in the chat room. All right. I'm trying to talk and type at the same time. I've never been good at that, which... people at my job yell at me about that because supposedly that's supposed to be able to be a thing, right? And I get yelled at my job all the time. They're like, you're too slow. You should be talking and typing at the same time. And I'm like, I've done this kind of work for 12 years. If you can talk and type, I'd like to see you do it. Just saying. All right, so we're going to... all right, so there's that. And I'm going to drop it over in the chat. And there's the video number two. So if you like what you're seeing, make sure you go like the video. Again, put in the comments that you heard about him from KLRN Radio. Make sure you subscribe to the channel and take the time to vote while you're over there. Because Buffoon of the Week is no fun if you do not participate. And it actually was a really good... It was basically Gene's version of Bunny's Douchebags of the Week. I think that's kind of where... See, all of those shows kind of started in the same place. I don't know if anybody's ever talked about this before, but and the group still exists. It was called We Are America Radio. So they were coming up about the same time that I was building K98 Talk. So the funny thing is, we all thought we had these new, great, original ideas, and then all of us started trying to do the same thing at about the same time. And basically, it turns out that the head of that group over there actually poached one of my hosts, and then they went to work over there, and then I found out they existed, so I started listening to some of the stuff they were doing over there, and that was back when, you know, We Are America Radio was the original home for Game On with JD and Stacey. They had, Sam back before it was FUBAR. She's done so many variations on the show. I don't even remember what the original show was. But they had a group called Politainment. It was Sam. It was Angie and Pohl. There was Jason DeWilkins. There was Daniel Stafford. And eventually, that whole crew came over here. Well, Gene was part of that group. So when they came over here, he stayed with War for a while. Because, you know, Gene's a pretty loyal guy. But he did start syndicating his work over here, and then we started working together on some of the other platforms that I mentioned earlier. And he's always been a big part behind the scenes with KLRN Radio, because normally, even when he wasn't involved in stuff, I would have him come on sometimes if he had things that... You may have heard him on some of the shows, because I'll have him come on as a contributor, and I'll bounce ideas off of him through Facebook Messenger and things like that. So even when he wasn't involved, he was still really, really involved. But... you know, and again, he had, like, serious health issues for a while, so he shut everything down. So the fact that he's doing this again, I'm really, really glad that he is, and I'm even more glad that he agreed to allow us to make it part of our program here. I only hope that he keeps doing it for as long as he can. What is... somebody sending me something in the... I like that. Somebody just put in the chat that KLRN Radio brought me here and Rick says hi. Alright, so we're going to get out of here, folks. It is after midnight Eastern at this point anyway. We technically have like 45 seconds left in our clock because we started a little bit late as it is. So we are officially going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to tune in for Chat Lives Matter Day. For those of you joining us here every week, I want to say thank you. Some of you are in the chat for the moment it opens to the moment it closes. Y'all are rock stars. I would do this even if nobody listened, but the fact that so many of you are listening, even to the stuff that we're doing early in the morning, we have a full chat before pretty much anybody else in the country's even awake yet. It's absolutely amazing to me that so many of you are paying attention to what we're doing and actually listen to what we say. I think that's the thing that still floors me the most, is so many people tune in to listen to what we say. I don't know any other way to say it. You guys amaze me. It astounds me that so many of you pay attention to us. I mean, you know, I feel like Sally Field from the awards speech. They like us. They really, really like us. But yeah, anyway, so we are going to get out of here. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of what's left of your hump day. This is the end of Chat Lives Matter Day. Hope you guys enjoy tomorrow. Don't forget, we do have a full lineup tomorrow as well. It's not quite as full as Tuesday and Wednesday, but we're getting there. For those of you who don't know, once we can get her trained, and we're hoping to be able to do that while everybody's spun down for this pandemic, Jen actually does plan on eventually launching a podcast around her website, the Misfits Politics Crew. That will eventually be taking the place of the Thursday slot that we gave up when we used to do Jen and Rick two nights a week. So we do have things in the works to try to fill in some more of the schedule, and I hope you guys are digging some of the newer content. We've got some newer stuff spinning up over the next couple of weeks, so make sure you tune that out. Tune that in, not tune it out. My bad. Don't forget, tomorrow night we have starting off at 7 Eastern. I'm sorry, 8 Eastern. Sorry, 8 Eastern. 8 Eastern. We have the Culture Shift, and then we will have about a 30-minute break-ish. Then we have the another bleeping podcast. And then after that, I don't think there's much else on the schedule for Thursday nights yet, because we're still waiting for Jen to bring her show online. But we are going to get out of here. Again, thank you everybody for taking the time to hang out with us. We do greatly appreciate it. We'll see you guys on the other side. Have a good night.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
This isn't over until I say it's over!
Closing time.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man. Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? Game over, man. Game over.
Closing time. Time for you to go out to the places you will.
In the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, be excellent to each other. In the words of Rick Robinson, for fuck's sake, wash your hands. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. God bless.